Welcome to Rialaron International Ministries Incorporated with Anne Elizabeth, where real people meet a real God.
Welcome to Rialaron. I'm so glad that you've joined me for our lesson and look at the journey into the Promised Land, a land flowing with milk and honey. We're learning so much in this lesson. I've really enjoyed this. I hope you have too. We have learned how God prepares us to enter into the Promised Land. It's a beautiful place. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of prosperity. It's a land where He adds money and no sorrow with it. It's a land of plenty and over and above the amount. It's a land of homes and lands and possessions and beautiful things. It's a beautiful place that God takes us to. But as we have learned, there's many stops along the way into the Promised Land. We have learned about the refiner's fire, the wilderness, the desert, different places along the way. And we know that these are preparations that God has prepared us to be a people that will remain in the Promised Land. I want you to say that word with me, remain in the Promised Land. I know many people that God has prepared, and they have worked with God, and they entered into their Promised Land. But now they have lost the Promised Land due to sin. See, when we obey God, we resist sin. And when God gives us our Promised Land, or He gives us our place, or He opens up the doors for you to rise even higher in life and in your calling or in your career or your ministry, whatever place that God has called you to be in. Maybe you're in government and you're going from a governor to a senator. Maybe He's made you the mayor and you're going to be running for the governor's seat. Maybe you're in ministry and He's wanting you to be the pastor and not the Bible study teacher. Whatever level God is taking you to. And so He will put you through testing to see if you'll be able to withstand what comes inside of that dominion, that place, that promise of possession so that you don't lose. He doesn't want to raise you to lose you. It's like example, if you had a child and you put him all the way through school to get his college degree, but once he got his college degree and he opened up his clinic, he was a medical doctor, he forfeited that because he gave in to sex trafficking and he gave in to somebody that wanted to be to work with him in sex trafficking foreigners. And he was busted and thrown into state prison. So he forfeited his promised place, his promised land, after years of preparation to get there because he didn't resist sin. He embraced it. Do you see? And so we don't want to forfeit our place of promise that God has promised us. This is what I'm making you for. This is what your purpose is. This is what my plan is. And so we need to allow God to develop us and to work us through all of these things. Because He knows what He's making, and He knows the importance of us keeping what we receive. We know that the angels that did not keep their first estate were thrown into hell. They're now devils, and they're chained, as the book of Jude tells us, they're chained under darkness, so they're in thick darkness, chained without hope, awaiting the lake of fire. I saw those specific ex-angels, I called them demons. It's very sad. They were completely hopeless as they shuffled by me. And it was like they couldn't breathe. They were just, it was the most hideous thing I had ever seen. And God was telling me, you need to keep your place. You need to not forfeit your place in me like they did and lose, because that is the place where the forfeiters go if they don't repent and get back in, you know. We know that God is always waiting for us to repent as the prodigal son. Repent as the thief on the cross. But if you don't get that repentance in, you will perish. Amen. That is a fact of life. So these preparations have made us able to withstand the benefits that we will find in the Promised Land, the finance, the friends, the notoriety, because in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, he told Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. That is somebody that has a great reputation and their name is known. I'm going to bless you. And that person, when God blesses you, you are blessed. Okay? I know what that's like too. When God blessed my life, I was blessed beyond what I ever expected to be in life. And to have more than I ever dreamed I would ever have. He did exceedingly abundantly above what I ever hoped or dreamed to ask him for. I was in shock at the home that I ended up in, and the estate I had, and the company I had. But this is the God of Abraham. This is the God of Isaac. This is the God of Jacob that will bless you if you're willing and obedient. But he wants us to remain in our blessing and not to forfeit that. You know, many people have become very wealthy and God has brought them into that state of wealth. But in that state of wealth, they forsook the Lord and they embraced iniquity for the pleasure that it would bring them for a season, for a time. And we know that that is very sad, and we see that. I've had very up close and personal people in my life that have done that. And it's a very scary thing for them. It's a very sad thing. And you pray for them to return to God. But in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 21, it reads, for the upright, the righteous, the ones doing what's right in Christ. We know that Christ gives me a robe of righteousness when I come into his kingdom through the blood of Jesus. We know that the Holy Ghost is then given into me to sanctify me and to make me powerful to become a son or daughter of God. And then he baptizes you for service with God for the souls of men. We know that God gives us the bread of life and he teaches us and renews our minds so we have the mind of Christ. But we need to have a breastplate of our righteousness on, that we're doing what's right and we don't have hidden sin and we don't have fig leaves that burn on us at the sight of God. We're not hiding sin from God and we're not running from God in sin. We embrace him in everything that he is, holy. Holy, holy is he, pure, intelligent, and perfect. He's sinless and wants us to be like him. It says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Perfect breaks down in the Hebrew as intelligent. Okay, God has given ministers to the church to perfect the saints, to bring them into intelligence, so they inherit all on earth and into eternity. And when you're intelligent and you're fully lit, your light's not put out by darkness because you've embraced sin. You know how to walk in this earth and to be safe in Christ. And we know that we will keep in our promised place, in our promised career, in our promised land with God when we remain with him in obedience and repentance, okay? Keeping our lives clean all the way out of here into heaven. And once we get behind that wall in glory, we can throw away our armor. We can take our helmet of salvation and throw it, okay? We can take the breastplate of righteousness and get rid of it because there is no more war. The war is over, but it's not over. We continue to crucify our flesh. We continue to read the word. We continue to resist the devil. We continue to embrace God. We continue to submit to God and surrender to God every single day of our life. And then we enter heaven where it's just the flesh and all that stuff is gone. Okay? No more, no more, no more. But while we're here, we live on purpose. We're people of purpose and intelligence, and so we know how to live underneath the throne of God and underneath the principalities and the powers and the darkness of this world that will constantly try to barrage the Christian and the Christian leaders away from God and help them to forfeit their promised land as they forfeited theirs. That is their goal. And their ultimate goal is that we forfeit eternal life. Hold on and lay hold of eternal life. And as Paul said, he beat his body daily. He crucified his flesh and he brought it under submission to God every day of his life so that he would not be a castaway. Depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Amen. So that's the journey into the promised land. And then when we're in the promised land, we're going into the celestial city. Amen. And so we always have to keep our eyes in our lives on the straight and narrow path with Christ, no matter our position, our condition on the earth. And we need to beware of turning away from God once we are inside of the promised land. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 7 says, "And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof." But God is speaking. When you entered, when you came into the promised land, you defiled my land. You polluted my land. You perverted my land. You caused iniquity to rise. You defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. See? So we need to be careful not to turn away from God and to begin to fellowship with iniquity and to rise up in iniquity and cause others to sin. Woe would be our fate. Woe is not a good word. Woe is a bad word, okay? Jesus, there's greater damnation for God's leaders. It's in the Bible. So we need to be very cautious that we don't cause others to sin and lose our soul and our fatness. And we have received what we wanted to now. So now we're going to take off the belt of truth, the word of God. We're taking out the sword of the spirit. We're breaking it in half, throwing it in the trash can and going over and making a highball instead of reading the word of God and serving God. We don't go to church anymore because we're too busy enjoying all of our money. See? I mean, that's forsaking God. Now we've got so many possessions with all the blessings that God has given us that I don't have time to do your work anymore, Lord. You know, I have all these boats and I want to go on a boat ride. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do that. So that's forsaking God. You know, God wants to give us all things to enjoy, but he doesn't want us to forsake serving him in our assigned place of work for and with him on this planet. So we don't want to do that. We need to remember that all we have comes from God and God alone. Romans 11, beginning in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of both wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has telling him what to do? Has God ever come up to you and you give him a box of tissue and he pours his heart out to you and you take notes and try to counsel him? That's absurd. That's absurd. God is God. He sits as the Most High God on the throne and he rules over creation. And that's the way it will always be. We come to him and ask him, counsel me, help me, tell me. Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of God, and through God, and to God are all things that exist. All things in creation were made through God, and they were made for God, and they come back to God, except sin. All that stuff gets pulled up and thrown into the lake of fire because God has distanced himself with sin and he's made a way for the sinner to be reconciled to himself through the only road, and that is the blood of Jesus. Amen. So we need the blood of Jesus to remit those sins so we can be reconciled to God. We know that the Lord's throne is a habitation of righteousness and judgment. And he wants us to be in his image. He wants us to be spotless. He wants us to be sinless. He wants us to be perfect. And when we mess up, say, I'm sorry. He wants to correct our profane language. Maybe you're a person that just loves to cuss. Maybe you're a person that thinks God's last name is damn. Maybe you're a person that, I mean, that's just the way you operate, you know. You can't have a conversation unless there's a lot of cussing going on. Well, see, God's going to refine you. He's going to polish you so that he's going to polish that away as if, you know, when you take a piece of sandpaper and you take an old wooden desk, you know, you're going to refine, you're going to take off all that stuff off that desk. So, and then it's going to be bare wood and you're going to be able to make a new desk. Amen. So God is going to transform us. And when he goes like this, he puts his finger on something and you say, you know, oh, but I like to cuss, God, and I'm able to express myself. I'm able to release my emotions. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do if I'm not able to cuss and get way down deep there with the worst of the worst cussers. And God says, you're going to have to learn not to do this. So we're going to practice because God is the Father and He's training up His children in the way they should go. Amen. And He wants His children, His family into His image. And that will never change. It's from the beginning all the way through the end. He wants a people transformed into His image that love righteousness, that love sinlessness, that love being perfect people full of love and purity and graciousness and mercy and kindness and long suffering. You know, that's one of His fruits that He will grow on your tree, so to speak, is where you have to wait a long time for something and you might be suffering as you're waiting. But you know, I don't know anybody that's waited as long as God. Psalm 89 reads, beginning in verse 13, Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of your throne. It's beautiful. Mercy and truth shall go before your face. So we see that God's throne is His habitation, is righteousness and judgment, and mercy and truth. So He's merciful. His pity and compassion on us and truth are before His face. And then you can see the angels flying around His throne singing, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And so when you look up to God, you know He's perfect. You know He's pure. You know He's full of mercy, pity, and compassion. And that He bows down and He listens to our cry. And He has respect to those who fear Him, knowing what He says and saying, Yes, Father, I know that You mean this. And because of that, I'm going to walk this way. Amen. I'm not going to cuss anymore. I'm going to work on that. So He might show you things that you need to work on. And maybe you can get a list out and make Him with God. Say, God, what do I need to work on? And we need to be a people that realize that God both blesses and God curses people. That is the covenant found in the Bible. And, you know, just like if I held up a half a dollar or a quarter, we know there's two sides. If I just showed you one side all the time, that would be cheating you, wouldn't it? But God wants you to know the full covenant. The full covenant, the full picture, so that you will choose correctly. If you don't know that God blesses and curses, you will lose. You will lose. You will lose. God wants to bless you, but God will operate out of what has been written, His eternal word. And nothing in His eternal word will change. And so God will bless or God will curse based on what you do with God during your earth and during your eternity. You will be entering into eternal blessing or eternal cursing. Hell is the name of that place, and onto the lake of fire. Deuteronomy 32:39 reads, See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill. God is telling us, I am God. There is no other God. I kill. God wants us to know that He kills. He kills people. I kill and I make alive. We can see how God raised people from the dead in the Bible. We can see where God has raised people from the dead all around us in different sections of the earth. He has raised people from the dead. I make alive. He says, I kill and I make alive. I wound. Okay? I wound. I know that I was going down a time with Jesus where I just had a mouth. And that every time he would want something, I would just come back and I just had a mouth. I just had an attitude and I had a mouth. And, you know, during that refining and I just had a mouth and I just kept going. And I would end up with a cold sore. And I knew that was Him telling me stop. And then He would lift it and it wouldn't last too long. And then I would start up again and He kind of corrected me with that cold sore, you know. And when I got that, I couldn't talk. And so He would quiet me down and He trained me with a cold sore, you know. And after a while, I don't kick up anymore, you know. So He refined that off. He refined that off. Well, how did He do that? He wounded. And then it says, I heal. You know, like He took Miriam. He took her and she just had a mouth on her against Moses. And Moses' sister was just mouthy, mouthy, mouthy. And God said, I'll do this. I will train my child in the way she should go because I'm the Father, right? The next thing you know, she's got leprosy. And so she had to be hauled outside of the camp Okay, and she had to stay in time out, so to speak, or grounding for a period of certain days. And then God lifted the leprosy off of her, and she knew not to do that again. Amen. And so God is, what is God? Say, God is the Father, and God trains us. But we need to know that He kills and He makes alive. He wounds and He heals. So we need to kind of reverence and respect God, okay? And God is our friend, and God is our Father, and God is our closest companion on earth. But if we neglect the fear of God, knowing what He says and how to stay on the blessed side of that coin, right? We want to stay on the blessed side. We'll lose. We'll lose. So we always are feeding ourselves the full message of the Word. We're taking in the Bible, and a really good way to read the Bible is to read a chapter in the Old and a chapter in the New Testament, Old Testament, and a Proverbs and a Psalm a day. And that way you're getting the full message of God. And it's really interesting how you can wrap that around. And the Lord is no respecter of persons. He's not going to wink at Sammy's sin and correct Ethel over here. You know, they're doing the same sins. They're co-workers, and they're both leasing agents. Okay, we got Sammy and we got Ethel. And the owner's gone. He's over in Italy having a good time. And they are supposed to man the property, and they're supposed to walk around it three times a day. But because the owner's gone, they haven't walked around it once. Okay. Well, Sammy wants to walk around it. So Sammy's been walking around it, but Ethel hasn't. Okay. And Ethel thinks that God's going to wink at her sin. But see, God sees the sins we commit against our employers. God sees the sins we commit against our employees. God sees the sins we commit against our spouses and our children and our friends and our family. He hears the gossip, hears the slander. He hears it all. He hears the person making fun of the preacher. He hears the saints making fun of each other. See, it's got to stop. God's not going to wink at Ethel's sin because He respects her. Okay, because Ethel's His little favorite, and she's actually in the church choir. So Ethel thinks, well, since I'm in the church choir, I don't have to obey my boss. I can just obey God at church. That's not true. God wants you to obey your boss. Okay, He's not going to wink at your sin. So God's not a respecter of person. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tells us, for if we judge ourselves, if we examine ourselves and we really see what's wrong, and we then get it in gear, or we let God say, we say, God, correct me. What do I need to do? Right? David said, hey, God, you know, examine me and prove me and see if there's any wicked thing in me. I mean, he really put himself on the fryer, if you ask me. But the thing is God's going to raise up any iniquity that is in us, and He will bring it to the surface so that He can bring it to our awareness and take it away, right? So that we've learned that, just like me and my attitude. I would get rolling with that attitude, and there was a sore. I would get a sore, and I knew it was from Him because He told me by His Spirit. If you want to live with these, then just keep going. Because this is what's going to happen every time you kick up. Because when God is refining you or stripping you or whatever, you're going to sometimes want to scream. But you can sit, you can talk to Him, but screaming and all this, you know, after a while, you're going to encounter something from God. And it will teach you, because He's a Father. He's going to train His children. And if we judge ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 31 says, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. We're corrected of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, see God's motive behind Him taking time to correct and make us and mold us and shape us and refine us and test us and try us, is that we are not thrown away with the world. Depart from me, I never knew you. Where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We need to give it up for God and say, thank you, Father, because you are without a doubt a good, good Father. You know, we need to remember that the choice to arrive in the promised land, the choice to hold on to Christ through all of these activities, and a lot of these activities are not fun. They're not like going to a good Christian film and getting a big what do they call, bucket of popcorn and your milk duds, you know, and watching some good Christian film. It's not like going to the spa and getting a massage or getting your nails done or going to the gym and working out or whatever the case. These events are very hard. But if you endure hardness as a soldier, God says, you know, and if you understand God's workings, then you'll be able to work with Him and He'll be able to get you where you need to be, maybe quicker than if you are, you sit and you don't understand all these things and you can't find the truth. Well, I'm telling you the truth. God is telling us the truth today so that we can inherit all good things. So we need to know that inheriting the promised land and remaining with Christ through these different steps, these different places, these different locations to get to your promised land is up to us. You know, we can get into the desert and say, this is too hard, and throw it down and run away. And it reminds me of Christ when he looked at his disciples and he said, are you going to go with me or not? Because many disciples dropped off. And Peter said, where are we supposed to go? You're the Son of God. Where are we supposed to go? We're not going back to hell, so to speak, right? You know, where are we supposed to go? We know who you are. We don't want death. We don't want devils. We don't want eternal fire. We don't want sin. Okay? And then God was able to take Peter, and Peter stood up in the book of Acts, filled with the Holy Spirit, and gave the first message. You know, it's just to the big audience, we know the first messenger was a woman. I think that's very interesting. Her name was Mary Magdalene. She was just loved God because she found something that was pure. He cast seven devils out of this woman. And finally, her torment was gone. You know, people that are tormented and emotionally distressed all the time and thinking of suicide and just they're never peaceful and happy and joyful and content. It's the oppression of demons. And so you need to come clean with Christ. Just Christ, wash me in the blood. Get out a Bible and start reading it. You know, turn on worship music. Go to church. It's the only way out of torment is Jesus. So the choice is ours to hang on to Christ as he takes us into the promised land. Once we're there, it's our choice to remain in the promised land. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 10 tells us, say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. But woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hands shall be given to him. So we know that people that have inherited the promised land from God, that have actually started off with God and gone through all of these places, and they finally get to their promised land. They have done it because they have obeyed God and stuck with God through it all. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And you need to know that God is with you always. God is not going to leave you or forsake you during your adventure into the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, be strong and be of good courage. What do you mean strong, Jesus? Believe in me. Believe in me is strong. Do you see? When we're trying to find a way inside of ourselves or from our old way of living, our old habits, we're not strong. We're only strong when we look at Jesus and know he's going to make a way where there is no way. Be strong. Believe in me and be of good courage. It's going to be okay because I'm God. I'm sinless. I will not harm you. I don't want evil for you. And be of good courage. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of all that I am going to put you through or all that you're going through right now. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goes with you. God is always with you and he will not fail. He will not fail you nor forsake you. So when you're, whatever you're going through, just know that God will not fail. God will not forsake me. All I have to do is be strong and believe in him. And I will enter into my promised land. I will make it through these different sections. Amen. Remember that God is for you. God is not against you. I know that many things that he allows in our life or different activities that do come against us. If hell comes against you to try to take you down, God will keep you standing up. Just hold on to God because God is for you. God is not against you. God is for you. 3 John 1:2, believe, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And we know our soul prospers by us obeying God and washing it in the Word of God on a daily basis. And you know, God wants everyone on the planet to enter into their promised land, everybody to inherit what He has for us on earth, okay? So it's not all about getting saved and coming into God and then leaving. Okay, it's about getting saved and coming into God and let Him develop us and take us to our destiny, our inheritance on earth and our place on earth. And then one day God will say, you're coming home. You know, it's time to go. Like He told Moses, it's time to go. You know, He told Aaron too. It's interesting. God prepares His people. It's time to go. And you'll go into paradise. You'll never miss the earth. Okay, but while we're here, let's get all the things that God wants for us. We can see in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, it says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which stands before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. See, Joshua was put in front of the Israelites to take them into the promised land, the nation. Now, that is now Israel divided into the 12 tribes of Israel, according to the 12 sons of Jacob. It's just a beautiful story and how God put them in their lands and had them live there. It's amazing though that as I'm studying all of this in the book of Judges, I have come across the fact that many of the tribes of Israel did not obey God fully by driving out the enemy. So they had to dwell with the enemy in their land. Okay. Many of them excelled and prevailed, gained and was successful over the enemy and made them their slaves. But many of them just dwelt with the enemy. And we know that what we don't drive out remains with us. And that's just a spiritual, you know, parallel with the physical, that we need to drive out the things in our life that don't need to be there, or they will dwell amongst us and will bring us down. Amen. So we don't want to compromise, and we don't want sin to have a place amongst us in our families, our homes, our businesses, our nations, our schools, our government. We need to remove sin and iniquity from our lives. Amen. And it's a beautiful journey, and you will arrive if you don't give up. You will most certainly arrive in your promised land. Just don't forfeit it along the path. And, oh, it's just too hard. I can't do this. And God's like, come on, don't forfeit. Don't forfeit my goal for you. Don't forfeit my purpose for you. And, you know, God is always telling us, He always brings us back around to your purpose, and He'll have you write it out, and He'll have you write out His plan for you. And it's the basketball hoop, right? And you're dribbling that ball down, and you're going down life, and you're able to get that ball right through the hoop and make it to exactly where He wants you to be. And so we know in Joshua chapter 21, beginning in verse 43, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He swore to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and they dwelt there. So we can see that they made it. They made it. But what's so sad is that 2.5 million people came out of Egypt, set underneath God, but only two obeyed to inherit the promised land. I just wonder how many of us sitting here know the road, know what God wants for us, know that God wants us to inherit, but how many of us will remain with Christ and inherit it? See, so that is a warning, and that is just a fact, you know, out of only two, out of 2.5 million, And the key was to obey. Stay and obey. All right? And trust, you know. In order to stay in the fire, you have to trust the Lord and obey the Lord. And then you see God putting the fire out and giving you whatever it is that you need. Joshua chapter 22, verse 5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandments in the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and to cleave unto Him and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So God's giving us a checklist of what he wants once we enter the promised land. It's like, well, Lord, here we are. Now what? He said, okay, I want you to do my commandments. I want you to serve me. I want you to be close to me. And I, you know, this is what I want. Obey me. Serve me, continue the work that I give you to do, right? Until we enter into glory. I don't believe there's a retirement age. I believe that God will keep us strong and healthy all the way through because Jesus Christ is life and health to all our flesh. Good night.
Rialaron International Ministries Incorporated appreciates all of its faithful covenant partners and wishes each and every one of you a beautiful life with Jesus. Please visit Rialaron today at www.rialaron.org.